See you come in there. Come. Warm your feet by the audible fire as I introduce you to PNBFM, the Wintry Wonderland Spectacular. I am Dylan the Snowman, your podcast MC for the night, and joining me is my cohort in chilly, icy game music, Robert.
Robert's the red nose drunk alcohol.
Robert the Red-Nosed Drunk Uncle joining me in this escapade through a winter wonderland of sorts. It's the end of the year. It's the winter season, as it were, at least by the time you're listening to this. So I thought it was a nice little gesture in order to get some of my favorite and Rob's favorite wintry game music picks. And my first pick, which is only because I feel like it's very reminiscent of a lot of old sort of, like, I said Disney. I think it's very Disney-esque, and its tone is Super Mario 3D World Snowball Park. And I only bring that up as, like, something interesting or special because Mario tends to be very eclectic and has its own kind of sound style. Mario doesn't really ape a lot of other genres most of the time. But Snowball Park definitely, like, it sets a vibe of, like, oh, come gather, like, it's Christmas dinner.
It's a short, fanciful jaunt, I would say.
Yes, for sure. But, like, 3D World's great, music fantastic, a lot of fucking horns. It was mid-2010s Nintendo. They were full of, they must have owed some, like, trumpet and fucking, you know, bassoon players money or something, because there was so much brass in Nintendo games at that time, from fucking Pokemon to Mario to, I mean, even, like, Mario Kart. Mario Kart 8. Famous for its saxophones, so. Touching on 3D World Snowball Park, like Robert said, it's kind of like a jovial, jaunty kind of winter vibe, and it's a good one to kind of get us ingratiated with the wintry aesthetic that we are. Well, what is the audible aesthetic? What is that word? What am I looking for?
Let's call this episode Wintered Mix. It's very wintered. Just like. Has this feel of that particular season.
And that's the theme you're going to see throughout all these games, which are, as we're wont to do, get pretty eclectic here, although I do have quite a few Nintendo games, but hey, I have a type, Robert has a type, and you're going to see a lot of PS1 games in Robert's picks. So,
only one, thank you. Ape Escape 3 is a PS2 game, yes.
Well, we might as well get into it.
Might as well. Yes, Ape Escape 3. So, if you listen to this track by Sushi Terada, they've been the composer throughout this series, a series that desperately needs to get back.
Yeah, we were talking about this in the pre-show.
Oh, damn it.
It deserves to be in the spotlight. Like, Ape Escape games are solid-ass games, man. I remember playing them. Either pre-dual, or no, was it pre-DualShock, or did it invent the DualShock?
It was the first game where you needed to have the DualShock. I vividly remember getting this game. It's like, oh, cool. And then getting the prompt, it's like, hey, you need the DualShock. It's like, what the hell is that? I have this regular rinky-dinky, like, skinny PlayStation 1 controller.
This very skinny, it's very much like an SNES controller, honestly, without the analog sticks. You can see a lot more of like an SNES DNA, whereas when you see DualShock,
like a cheaper, like plastic, more plasticky feel of an SNES controller.
DualShock is, here's the next 25 years of video game controllers.
Pretty much.
Like we're only now just starting to get into the phrase of like kind of doing stuff, something different with the classic controller scheme, and Ape Escape definitely captured a lot of that.
What AstroBot is doing, and being PlayStation's, oh gosh, like
mascot,
their mascot, Ape Escape should have been for like, all right, here's a technical showpiece. It's a decent platformer. You collect stuff. It could be short. It can just be something to try out the system, and it just be like, it's nice and cute and no frills. It just it works so well. But then we blasted through it in a couple of years. It's like, all right, we peaked at 3. All right, we're done.
We're done because
we're done
for some reason.
Yeah.
For some reason, in Ape Escape 3, this art I'm looking at, this fucking this monkey with sunglasses has like an Uzi.
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah, dude. This guy, like, we got a ninja.
Yeah, that happened in the first one.
Sam Fisher goggles and a banana, and like this guy's got a gun. The thing is,
Ape Escape 3, it's Metal Gear Solid 3 tie-in too.
Oh Jesus Christ!
Oh yeah.
How late was Ape Escape 3? Ape Escape to me is a mid-90s franchise, but I guess it might be a little bit more contemporary.
No, they're later than that. I think it's like 97 for Ape Escape 1.
Well, I mean, it was like DualShock time, and I remember Ape Escape 1 vividly just because my cousin had
1999 game
the most. I remember the fucking, like, the net, and like weird lightsaber fucking looking thing. Like,
yeah.
It was. It's vague.
2006 was Ape Escape 3.
2006?
Oh yeah, baby.
What the heck?
Oh
there's
yeah.
There's no 06. That's wild.
PS3 territory right there.
Good lord, I had no idea it was this recent. I'm expecting fucking Matrix parodies out of this or something.
Well, maybe out of Ape Escape 2, probably.
Yeah.
Because it was very much that type of series where like it was. It was nearing Minions level, like just like volume of like meme ability with this type of like creature.
It's them and rabbits.
They can just do whatever with, yeah.
But to actually touch on the song, it's,
yeah, like it's like the game. It's rather repetitive.
Yeah.
It is, but if you also listen to our other whatever the hell we do for presents feed rant.exe, the ones I usually edit are I use a lot of Ape Escape tracks for their incredible loops.
They're
like,
good
they
for
just
loops.
Make, make
great
such
for loops.
Yes, they make such great like interstitial like loops. So they go on for like longer than you want them to go, but like they're great for like, you know, 20 seconds. It's like, oh man, that's a dope track. But Wintersville, the name of the song, is no different. No matter how many times you hear the three-noted twinkle every 2 seconds in this track.
Yeah, and I kind of like also the percussion in the background, like the drums. It's very lo-fi. Honestly, it's very contemporary. Like, lo-fi hip-hop beats are fucking everywhere. They have been for like 3 years, you know? Like, in this song specifically hits those kind of vibes. I would say it's ahead of its time if this is like a 2006 game.
Yeah, you can definitely feel that. Like this is Ape Escape, like the original one that came out like when trip hop was kind of fading, or it was kind of fading. Where like, you can feel like there was that inspiration there to it, and you can hear it in some of the tracks there. But then also you like with Ape Escape, the entire series. It is very much just like, holy shit, this is a great game soundtrack that you can use for any sort of like modern music today. And then you have some like cartoony kitty bullshit where it's like, man, this is unlistenable. I can't deal with this.
But no, I think it's a solid track. Like you said, solid like loops, solid beats. Like you could loop this for, you know, 30 minutes very easily.
Exactly, kind of, yeah.
Know, stitch it together very well. Solid pick, and also very solid as we go into our next track, which is Route 216 from Pokemon Diamond, Pearl, and Platinum. Now, Diamond and Pearl, Black and White, the DS era of Pokemon games, I feel like it's had a pretty strong resurgence of, man, these fucking tracks slap, like they're really fucking good. But usually that's for more energetic and more upbeat bops, a lot of legendary Pokemon themes, a lot of gym leader themes, things like that. Route 216, it goes for something different. It's one of the first pure snow areas in Pokemon games. Like, there's been like, icy caves and, like, oh, here's an ice gym leader. But Route 216 is the first time, like, you have snow as an element in Pokemon because it leads directly into a town that's, you know, centered around the snow. and it just... The way it starts real slow, like, real kind of, like, with the echoing percussion in the background.
It kind of swerves a little.
Accordion
a little
music.
Bit, yeah.
Slightly accordion-ish. But then it just goes into, like, a jingly bop. Like, you're just walking into, like, a... Like, you're walking into, like, a 2000s mall, you know? Just like, oh, it's like the fervor of capitalism. Malls are never going to go away, folks, you know? Malls are the epicenter of culture. They're never going to fade, never going to get buried. But, no, I feel like Route 216 really captures that feeling. And, you know, it's cliche, but, like, having the music hit... Divorce from the game is different because I remember Route 216 for, you know, like the Nintendo DS audio fidelity of stepping through snow, you know, just, yep.
Right, you have sound effects to go with it, yeah.
Exactly. Like they are, the sound effects in a lot of ways are just as iconic as the tracks can be. But, yeah, I mean, you know, Junichi Masuda working his magic with Pokemon music even to this day. Like he is a joy to listen, like experiment a little with Pokemon because... Pokemon, I feel like, has a bit of a... I don't know if I call it a stigma, but a lot of its music you can kind of write off a little bit.
That's what caught me with this one, because you kind of, like, when you think Pokemon music, like it's far more static. There's not much that changes after, let's say, 20 seconds in that track. Right. This is, like, I haven't played that many Pokemon games, but this is, like, just what I've heard. This sounds more like an OC remix of a Pokemon track. And yeah. In fact, like, I would love to hear ones if somebody remixed this into a more produced song. They probably did. But beyond the snow jingles, the melody hooks me with its just these sudden spikes and drops in pitch. Like, it has, like, the bassy beats and upbeat organs all like, competing for your attention in a Pokemon game Pokemon game track that bobs and weaves throughout.
Certainly. But now that's going to lead us into, I'd say, almost the polar opposite of a winter aesthetic in Hitman Contracts Winter Nights. Quite a shot and chaser combo, Pokemon to Hitman. But
Hitman Contracts Winter Nights. Sorry, we're not going to keep this upbeat. You know, sometimes you're just going to be staring down a bottle Christmas Day because your family left you, you know?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I guess it can get that depressing. No, Winter Night to me, though, it kind of just speaks more of just, like, you know, walking home. Like, it's getting dark at, like, 4:30, and you're walking home from work, or you're walking home from school, mm-hmm. and it's like, you know, maybe it's a little bit shady right now. Maybe it's a little bit, like, different than what you're used to, so you have a little bit more of a pep in your step. But
you're
taking
the long
song...
route, or you're taking a shortcut through a dark valley. Yeah, sure. Yeah, what a mood this track just presents
for
you.
Sure,
like
for sure.
Nothing like a little like foreboding sense of danger hovering over the calm tempo. How like the
like
melody wanders in and out of our focus, just pacing around the room, yet also sitting in a chair, just lost in thoughts. Just like doing that simultaneously, like all
Shout
at once.
To Jesper
it's
Kidd.
This, yeah. It's like his work with the Hitman franchise. It's just so like it should be treated as equal as his contributions to Assassin's Creed for sure.
Oh, for sure. Because like I think this does, as I've like reiterated, it's just like there's a. Not cynicism, but more of like a, like you said, foreboding danger, a vague sense of like unfamiliarity that comes with winter sometimes because it's like, man, it's serious. Like, I'm clocking out of work at like 4:35, and it's like, man, okay, is it really going to be sunset by the time I get home? Like, is that what the next 3 months have in store for us? Because it's like, sometimes winter isn't this, you know, picture perfect Disney movie that Snowball Park told us that it was in 3D World. Sometimes it can be a bit more on the sinister side.
Oh, 100%. And this is a game all about murdering.
Exactly.
It's probably our last one about murdering.
You murder a lot of things in Spyro 2? I don't know. I
no, you do but, in Octopath Traveler,
you,
though.
You boy, do you kill a lot of fucking things in Octopath Traveler. And what another tonal roller coaster we go from the foreboding, you know, sinisterness of Hitman into this is like a fucking incredible, like, man, does Frostlands for Octopath Traveler just really hit. It's like the For me, it's the song that I associate with winter, like more than most other songs. Period. Like it's, I don't know. It invokes a sense of like.
I made fun of Dylan for never finishing Octopath Traveler at all, but I cannot deny it's great soundtrack.
And
this is
the
best track in my opinion. Yeah. Oh, you did?
I beat the main story. I just didn't beat the post game. That's all. That secret ending boss kind of thing,
okay.
Where I tell you that all the stories are coming together.
Fine, I'm just saying. I'll allow it.
I rolled credits 8 times on 8 different stories.
You got 400%. So. Okay, you didn't get 500%, but okay.
I didn't get 999% and flip the castle upside down, but... No, Frostlands, yeah, like, Octopath is a soundtrack I will talk up for fucking ever. I could do a fucking 2-hour PNBFM on that soundtrack. No shit. It is really fucking good top to bottom, but I do think Frostlands stands out.
Yeah.
It stands out because you're getting introduced to Ophelia, who is your white mage kind of stand-in, and she's very close to, like, you know, clergy in her area. She's very in touch with, like, spirituality and stuff like that, and... To my cold, bitter, agnostic Catholic heart, it kind of just invokes warmer memories of those kind of times. Of just like, it's cold, you're getting hustled into the church, it's nice and warm in there, and you're just kind of there. Like, it just kind of, it hits those kind of notes for me, which I guess is a bit more personal, but it's very...
Yeah, it's got a great
soothing
arc. It's just a... overall beautiful arrangement. I've got nothing else fancy to say
about
it.
Very Miyazaki-esque, I'd say. Like, in terms of, you know, just ambient and very, like, serene and, like, every pleasant word I can find in my fucking thesaurus right now is the accolades I give to Frostlands. So, and I might sneak in the remix, because there's a remix, an official remix, because they did, like, a remix album for Octopath Traveler of Frostlands. It's also very solid. I'll try and get that in there as well. But before we get into that, we have to talk about the purple dragon in the room. This is Spyro 2 Ripto's Rage with Winter Tundra.
Winter Tundra. Oh, golly. I just love just like all about the hub world tracks in Spyro. Just like Spyro 2's especially, because they're hub worlds that just... Like, right when you first get introduced to them, it just smacks you across the face with just this wonder and scale that it's just like, all right, here is your starting off point, and here's where the camera is positioned, so you can see just how vast the area is that you can explore and how big it is. And it just... Ugh.
Yeah, I do kind of wish I had a little more to say on it. I didn't play the Spyro games a whole lot when I was a kid, and, like, trying to invoke the sort of feeling of the music now, it's just like, I get it. It sounds a little bit like, you know, you're falling into a deep sleep. Somebody's trying to sell you, like, I don't know, hemp sweaters at a college campus. It's like, buy my mix CD, man. But
fair.
That's me being a bit more jaded and cynical.
Yeah,
about it.
And all three of the hub worlds in Spyro 2, like, they sound fairly similar. The effect is still the same, in my opinion. Like, Winter Tundra does add a bit of a chill. No pun intended. Yeah, it's just so... For me, it's just so pleasing and calming. Like, yes, it does, like, delve into more of the... What we could say more of the... like, all right, just this white noise type music. You just put on to fall asleep. Like, it's that level of, like, calming.
I can see, you know, waking up on, like, a cold winter's morning, and, like, your windows are a bit frosted over, and you put your hand over them, and you just kind of see, like, oh, here's, like, a shit ton of snowbanks kind of music. like, you know, like, before you get excited when you're a kid that you see snow and something, like,
you look outside, like, and you see the snow just glistening.
Like, snow is just a very...
It's that feel.
Snow is a very evocative precipitation? I don't know. It's when there's a lot of snow, it looks so foreign. It looks so different. It looks like this giant white blanket has covered everything. And before you turn into a cynical adult and hate everything about the snow, it's really quite a magical element, if you will.
Like, it changes the terrain completely, yeah.
And I think this is a good song that kind of captures that for sure. We're going to talk about my next pick in this Winter Wonderland of...
We're going to drift into it, yes.
We're going to drift into the Fendrena Drifts from Metroid Prime. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I believe there is a PNBFM where I have talked up the praises of this song before. But not in the ways that it invokes a sort of wintry feel. You know, Metroid's not a series you really associate with... kind of cozy winter vibes and like kind of sinister undertones. The sinister undertones are there for a lot of Metroid music, but Fendrena Drifts is, I don't know, it's a bit different than the sort of techno-ish, like lo-fi vibe that Metroid Prime had kind of been building towards. Like, it's very snowy. It's outside. You're not cramped up in a fucking corridor. You're not going through a spaceship. You're out in the open. Kind of like wandering through, fighting these weird snow dogs or whatever the fuck, like bear dog alien hybrids they have, and man, it's one of my favorite songs in Metroid Prime, and that is a game chock full of great music.
Yeah, it's definitely like if you think of Metroid as a series of its game music, like this is definitely like top five. What we just like pop in your head,
man? That just that piano melody throughout the entirety of the build up to like, and here's this weird sort of windy, wispy snow sound that's kind of cascading across the environment. Like, it's really, really good.
Metroid,
love this song
as a series, and its music just it nails atmosphere so much. As much as a Nintendo game can unease you. The P drifts leaves you just cold and driven. It's like methodical, like direction just quickly changes to just like horse with blinders on, just focus.
Yeah, you're focusing on the mission, and that mission is I think in this part of the game you're just trying to find like the space pirate hideout, which is awesome in its own right. We'll probably get that in another PNBFM, but like going from caves and ships and hideouts to this wide expanse, and then in this wide expanse hides this kind of dark secret of like, oh, the space pirates are doing experiments on Metroids on another planet and trying to infect the galaxy kind of thing. It's like, oh, okay, they're like, this is cool that this is where this kind of interacts with it. And environmental storytelling is literally Metroid Prime's fucking it's one of its, well, prime gimmicks. So,
boo.
Oh, you can't fucking talk. He called it P-Drifts. You fucking abbreviation.
I don't. Well, I only did that because I don't know how to pronounce it. That's all. That's
the
entire
reason.
I always
just call it Fendrina.
Fendrina? Fendrana? Or like.
I don't know. It's not real.
Fendrana? Fendrina. Let's ask Miyamoto. How about that?
God damn it. He didn't have anything to do. Well. He did not have anything to do with the game.
Well,
he's the reason
technically
it's, I think,
he did.
Shooter.
He did look at it and say, like, this is, like, look at, what was it, Retro Studios, is it?
Yeah. I mean, Miyamoto
Retro Studios. Look at all their games and say, like, all right, this is bullshit. Don't do any of this. What's
Jet
that Metroid
Force,
game
Gemini,
you're
get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. Like, Miyamoto did his Miyamoto thing where he talks to Westerners like, hey, here's how you make your game better. And then he does. And then they do, so.
He just shows up with a cigarette and just like, all right, and he just doesn't say anything, and then comes back the next day like, all right, do this, make these into animals and have them
that
talk in this way.
That was my favorite part of Game Over is, like, Miyamoto couldn't smoke anywhere, so he just chain-smoked in front of the Americans in the fucking board group, like the broom closet. Oh, God. Things must come to an end, and so too will this podcast after we talk about Robert's last pick for the show, which is a more recent pick in A Hat in Time's Picture Perfect. Now, A Hat in Time, that is not a game I have played. The Steam sale is, as we are recording, currently going underway. I'm sure it is at least half off. It's been a game I have definitely had on my platform bucket list as a guy who likes himself a 3D platformer.
It's exactly my type of platformer, too. Like, it's not something like a Mario where, all right, you need to have some sort of skill involved, and, like, that's the whole purpose of the game. Like, no, like, the whole purpose here is just to explore and see what sort of, like, the level of care and production went into providing you this experience. And this is exactly what the level, like, Picture Perfect in probably, like, my favorite world... Or to explore. It's the second world. It's after Mafia Town. Mafia Town felt more like Mario Sunshine, because like the world just keeps changing, but it's still the world you're in. But then here it's just like, all right, here's these discrete sections and levels, and they're each like pretty much different. And the whole premise there is like you've got a team of owls and a team of disco penguins all competing, and it's like, all right, they're trying to compete for whomever's gonna have like the best film or whatever, and you're the deciding factor, and also in the starring role. It's silly, it's dumb. JonTron voices a character, I think, in one of the levels. Less said the better. But anyway, one of these levels is called Picture Perfect, And what you do here is it's a kind of like a winter festival, and you're trying to gain fans. So you're going to random penguins on the streets and just interacting with them, and they take your picture. They take your picture, so it's a nice little 2D art of the main character, just like a shot in like a compromising image, like the person taking the photo or the paparazzi. Like, bottom line, it's really just an excuse just to explore this environment, interact, have some cheeky fun. And that's exactly what I like in my platformers. Just like an open area to explore, find all the interesting things. And this is also the point where, like, this level hit me the hardest in A Hat in Time. Because, like, so much love and care went into, like, everything in that area. And throughout the worlds as well. Seeing how much art it was put in for these like one-off jokes,
right?
And you can see that was the entire goal of this level. Like, and you're just collecting photos so you can get more likes, get more fans, and so on. Like, again, it's silly, it's nonsense.
More saxophones from the from the Mario talk at the top. But yeah, I don't know. I want to give A Hat in Time a shot because it really feels like a game, like a labor of love kind of game that succeeds to do everything it wants to do. So,
yeah, and it's also a game with some really good music. It's also like kind of interesting because like each world is some sort of different platformer, because like World 2 is like, all right, each level is different because like we're going to do some different parodies. World 1, as I mentioned, it's like Mario 64 / Sunshine. World 3, like, my least favorites, because, like, it's just an open area where you go to, like, different like, partitions. It's the same area, and, like, all you're doing is, like, unlocking doors to separate, like, all right, here's this pathway to this haunted house, here's this pathway to, another area. And then Section 4 was this giant floating island with like, four separate levels, and it's all connected with each other. And it's just like with the main connecting piece in the middle, and there's just separate areas involved, and they each have their own like more like labyrinthian, like, all right, now here comes like the harder platforming test. And also what comes probably the, like, for this reason too, like probably the best music in the game. Oh gosh, like climbing like that clock tower, I think it's called like Alpine
Towers,
something like, something like that. But it's just, that is definitely a track that you want to put on repeats,
for sure. And honestly, a lot of these tracks I would definitely put on repeat from fucking, like, I'm really digging Ape Escape for the low key, the chill vibes, no pun intended. Frostlands,
like,
obviously.
I mentioned the Brendan. It's just like, oh yeah, half that soundtrack is dope as shit. Other half is straight garbage. But the other half that's good, just save that, and like, oh man,
that's all you need.
It is good shit.
Put it on your burnt CD, because I guess that's what you're doing in 2000. Well, no, you had iPods at that point. Put it on your iPod Mini.
Put it on your CDR, yes.
God, put it on your Zune, people. Remember Zune? Everybody loves.
I do remember
that. You know what? At this point, it might be nostalgic just to be like, hey, Microsoft, why don't you just have a fucking Zune? I don't have a 2005 ass.
Guardians of the
Zune.
Galaxy 2 buried that entire fucking hardware. Okay, it's
great, great. I can't wait for Guardians of the Galaxy 3 when they have like a fucking like a Windows phone. To be fun. That's gonna be a very time and place.
By the time
Guardians 3 comes out, we're gonna have 2000s nostalgia back in full force. So,
good lord.
Some could say you're already here. And if you want to listen to some of our 2000s nostalgia baby shit, I'm sure we've got plenty of that over at PNB Presents. Like, you can get this show a whole week early. If you just support us over at patreon.com/PNB for even just a meager dollar. Any little support you guys can give us is really appreciated. You can also listen to PNB, where we have been, I don't know, very consistent this year.
Very consistent and long.
It's been a good
surprisingly
year for PNB,
long.
I think. I think it's been one of the strongest PNB years.
Well, we've got...
Yeah. Go ahead. So we've got a little best of cooking up, and if you're hearing this on the general feeds, then it should already be up, just to kind of celebrate 2020 for PND, because it was a really fucking difficult year for a lot of people, obviously, for a lot of different reasons. It was difficult for the PNB folks as well, but through it all, we had probably our most consistent year yet. We've routinely, just come together every week, enjoying ourselves, having a good time, and
I think we found our groove.
Podcast in the meantime. Yeah, I really think so too. I think we're going to come into the 2020s, as it were, coming in swinging. So be sure to peep the PNB feeds for the 2020 best of. But Robert, did you have anything else you wanted to kind of plug before we head on out of here?
2021. Look forward to maybe me attempting some sort of video series or two.
Oh my God! Please tell me you're gonna make video essays. I really want you to make video essays.
Oh Jesus Christ! God. That's basically rant.exe, but no. It's probably gonna be more like I'm modding XCOM or I'm trying streaming in some capacity, but we'll see if my PC can handle that.
You want to try is there's Goku and Vegeta mods for Risk of Rain 2, and I think you would enjoy Risk of Rain 2 through the lens of a Saiyan for sure. So
why have that when you can play 2020's Dragon Ball Z Kakarot? Because that fucking released this year.
Yeah, and it's $23 right now in the fucking Steam store. Because nobody
still too much
cares.
Money.
It's still too much money for that game. I'm sorry. I'm everybody's fucking Dragon Ball Z punching bag. But even I can realize that, hey, I don't need to play the fucking 3 Dragon Ball Z sagas for the 20th time. I will just play Fighters. I will just challenge Soulja Boy for the title of best Fighters player on Soulja Boy stream. And Jesus. That's all it takes.
How'd that go? You made that post and it's just like, all right, what are we supposed to do with this?
Everybody got one match in, and then it was bounced from the lobby. So everybody kind of got there. Like it was so funny. It was like a mob of, because Dragon Ball Fighters, you have the little anime avatars kind of walking around to like get to point A to point B, and there's like a mob of 20 of them just following Soulja Boy around like it's fucking 2006. It was just really fucking funny to see, because like the game would desync at times, so everybody would just move like one frame every 3 seconds. Move, like teleport from place to place. Instant transmission all over the place. But it was fun. He was high out of his fucking mind. And it was silly just to kind of be in that moment. But if you want to see how the chicanery we get up to, me and Robert have spitballed me being bad at Dragon Ball FighterZ and him having commentary over it for a while, so maybe that'll happen. We'll see.
We'll see. Yeah, but maybe
me and Robert have had
series.
A lot of ideas for a co-op series of some sort, and I think it's going to come together at some point in 2021.
And I've been kicking this can for a while. Like, I need to bring back level select because I want to do it, or I might pass it off to someone else because I'm too much of a fucking anal idiot with it.
Well, I mean, you're still playing. Like, could you make a case for something in one of the Yakuza games for a level select? I bet you could.
Probably, but it's so hard
just
to pick.
Saying. We're not here to pitch shows to you listeners, though. If you want to hear what we get up to, obviously we have the Patreon. You can follow myself at Tierney on Twitter. You can follow Robert at 23Breach. Follow the podcast network at PNBcast. And I think that's going to do it for us here at PNB. Hope you have a great day, and thanks for listening.